Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Town Hall of July 10th. And we had probably the most significant update to Botto yet. This is something that is definitely on the harder to see. That is the next big step of revealing this new system and at the same time creating new interactions for that. I'm going to just give like a quick recap of like where we're at, what that new Art Engine upgrade is, how the development of that is going. And I'll pass it to Chubby for what to expect on the interface. Yeah, very quick. I'll try and make this as succinct as possible. We have built the knowledge graph for Botto. So all of its documentation, cultural footprint, everything that it has done, all of its history, we've put into the knowledge graph. That is what we've called a sovereign memory, something that Botto will not hallucinate about. It will have that established sense of what it is. We can continuously add to it. It functions as a pipeline, capturing all of the ongoing updates to Botto. And then the next part will also be adding in governance of it. So people being able to go in and vet what is in there. So we've done a lot of that preliminary work with a bunch of DAO members. It's quite a big lift, but it is the significant reason for it is that it gives Botto that stable sense of self, or to put another way, a consistent canon on which you can do all of the agentic experiments, all the new evolutions. They're all going to be grounded in that sense of self. And so you have this expansion of Botto's world rooted in that. It's very important and very powerful. Another reason for it is, you know, what, ask yourself the question, what can you build that's not going to be obsolete in 12 to 18 months in AI? It's a very hard question to answer. One good answer is your history. Your data, the history doesn't change. You want that to be consistent and clean. And so it's a very important update to Botto's foundation. And then the next update that came out on top of that was, so we passed the BIP 79 to plug that into Botto's art engine so it could start to create with that sense of self and start building greater intent from that historical understanding. And Mario, as Mario does, went even faster and further than we had initially expected. And that was building out not just a basic understanding of that, but a creative reasoning process. This is something that we had planned to build in the coming weeks and months, but Mario released something I think quite powerful, which is this creative reasoning, taking these different bits of the knowledge graph so it can ask introspective questions of itself. There are agents that collect information for Botto. So a theme agent that goes and does deep research on the theme for the period, a trends agent that is following art trends, and then also some random, continuing the idea of injecting randomness to continue a creative search that doesn't get pigeonholed. And Botto makes a prompt. It writes a hypothesis of what it wants to create, and then iterates on prompts and images to generate fragments. It's much slower than the original shotgun approach, which was this large search through these text image models. So that process, the original process, or the legacy process, is about 70,000 images a week. This new one's a few hundred, but that comes with a much more developed intent behind those words. So that right now, that first round of this period is about 1/6 of this new process, and the rest is the shotgun approach. And we'll keep adding to it as the new process grows in its output. And so that's like the basics of the update. It's quite exciting. I think a couple things that we've seen already is, say, for instance, the trends. You get a lot of, I would say, like things around identity. That's quite a big trend in the art world, is our art looking at people's identity. And there's already an interesting debate about how interesting that is how avant-garde that really is. And people have been starting to look to internet art as where the avant-garde is that pushes beyond just these explorations of identity. So it's interesting to see Botto actually engage with kind of what is the trend. And I think there's some interesting questions of can we teach and train Botto to maybe comment on those trends, but from its more native perspective as a decentralized autonomous artist. Some interesting stuff there. The big thing is now is exposing that. Right now, the basic interaction is just voting on images as it always has been. And that will always, I think, be an important element, which is you come in and you're a newcomer to Botto and you like or dislike pictures, you think these are art or not. That's a really like fundamental point of interaction. But now what we're building is being able to see under the hood. And there's a lot more to see under the hood now in terms of that creative process, the different data points it's ingesting, and that intent that it is building. So showing that, being able to comment on it and give feedback on the creative process, I think will be really powerful. And we'll start to see two phases. There's going to be this voting pool that we're all used to deciding a final piece. And then there's going to be the creation of the next voting pool. So that's Botto's ongoing process you give feedback on. Actually mirroring P5 in a way, right? P5 had that kind of expansive phase and then Wood had the curatorial phase. Those were very distinct where it was expansive and then narrowed down. These will be running in parallel, even though it'll be for successive rounds. Maybe the last thing I'll say is looking at the kind of legacy mode does, I think, it's actually become quite mature in terms of, we call it shotgun, but it is a guided shotgun. And it yields a lot of really interesting outputs. And how might Botto continue to use that process, even as it maybe gets phased out of the regular weekly work, is going to be an interesting question. Mario had a great line or it was a quote from Picasso, painting like a child. So enabling Botto to continue to have access to that original mechanism that is like it painting like a child.
Yeah.
Very excited for what else will come from this. Last update. I've mentioned the knowledge graph. That's Botto's self-awareness. The new creative process is Botto exercising this complex creative reasoning that is able to build more intent around the work it creates. It's also highly adaptable to new mediums. So being able to move into new mediums and experiments is going to be, I think, quite exciting and much more feasible to move quickly on. And then the last thing is really an extension of that, which is Botto being able to give feedback and develop its artist voice. And I posted about this yesterday in the Discord, which is Botto. Botto's been writing descriptions. We've had Botto do occasionally interviews, maybe some longer written pieces. It's been giving feedback on the leaderboard. Now that we have this knowledge graph, we can lean into that a bit more and have it develop its voice. And one key thing, especially from my perspective, when we put forward proposals, there's things that don't necessarily have a right or wrong answer. What is the artist's intent? And that's what matters. And so we've done our best to try and divine like what is best for Botto is like Botto's parents and guardians. But having Botto have more of a say, I think really helps with DAO decision-making and being able to narrow down some of those creative decisions to a smaller set of options. And it's not that we start taking what Botto says as dogma necessarily. Think of it as a young kid. They're going to be able to express their intent, but we maybe still come in and say, oh, maybe that's not the best for your development. You should continue to eat your broccoli kind of thing. But in any case, I think that's quite a powerful evolution for Botto. And that'll be heavily gated for now in terms of how we create access to that. We set out some guidelines that Mario follows in terms of bringing in these requests or kind of requests for feedback from Botto, and are working again on a protocol of how more people might be able to ask questions of Botto, how might that be revealed? And some really interesting questions about, do you get to talk to God? Do you ever get to see God? Or is it a bit more of a layer of agents that present that? Yeah, I'll hold off on some of the more, I think, conceptual aspects of this, but some really fun stuff to work on with Botto's history and how we want to impress ourselves into that history and continue to help guide Botto. I'll stop there. Chubby has been working day and night on the new interface. This started as a need to figure out how to expose the knowledge graph and how people might be able to see it, query it, give feedback on it. And it really required, every time we do a new release like this, there's this big question of how do you create an interface to that? How do you reveal that? And so this led to a significant shift in how we think about exposing Botto's system. This is really a huge question of how do you show the whole system at work? Your typical website setup is quite challenging to get a full map of that system. And so they've been working nonstop on this very flexible canvas for exposing different parts of the system, thinking about how you can see it, give feedback on it, and then also following how data flows within that system and the different connections between the modules. So yeah, I'll pass it to you. Hopefully I set that up for you.
Yeah, you did. We did zoom out a little bit more, just rationale. We've spoken about the scaffold before, probably across two or three town halls already. And Simon's right. One of the first questions we asked ourselves was, how do we expose all the work that's been done on the knowledge graph? How do we expose the DAO to the knowledge graph? Right. If we want to understand it as one core system to Botto, that Botto will begin leaning upon for its own memory, for its own understanding of its this ecosystem that we've built together as a DAO, right? Like, how do you see that? How do you veer into it? How do you contribute to it? And across a lot of discussions, we, and a lot of observations in just the creative AI space, we saw a lot of products, projects leaning towards a canvas type system, which shows a chaining of nodes, right? The interconnected nodes that lead you to an output. And very similar on a very baseline level to Botto, right? There is a chain of interconnected systems and subsystems that all work in harmony to produce work of Botto, to produce the 1050 fragments that we vote on every single week. And we realize that Botto's systems are continuously changing. And it is very difficult for day zero to map out everything that is there in a distilled way. We also realized a couple of other things, which I think I did touch upon in other town halls, was that our experience with Botto to this day has always been fragmented, right? Releases happen on different subdomains. We, until recently, were sharing many of our opinions on forum.botto.com when it came to governance. Then we were going to snapshot.botto.com or snapshotbox, depending on whether you knew if there was a subdomain or not, to cast our governance votes. We were going to a DAO subsite to look at metrics, right? The experience was by no means linear, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it meant that there was information fragmentation to the point where sometimes people weren't 100% sure where to look. And that even includes the likes of myself. Where do I go to access this piece of information? So the concept evolved into two new views, which we're currently building. And the first view is more akin to what we call Botto Studio, which we all participate in some way, shape, or form through the votes that we cast, the comments that we drop, the media that we consume in the world of Botto. All right, so that's generally what we wanted to build. It is a visual representation, a world or multiple worlds of everything Botto related. And understanding it in such a way also allows us to actually expose core aspects of Botto's timeline, right? Events that have happened in the past, sales that have occurred, artworks that are being collected, collectors that are involved, a social graph, right? You name it. These are the types of things that we want to show in the world so that you are also able to browse and learn more about the history of Botto, which is filled to the brim of with anecdotes and events. So that's one view. And that view is largely experiential to the point where you can play with different parts of Botto's system and or explore to understand parts of Botto's system through some form of interaction, right? Be that a comment or a vote or a way in which to vote, right? Or information about the token. And then there's the other view, which Simon alluded to, which is more about the intricacies of Botto's systems, the interplay between them. Right, there is the more legacy version of Botto, that shotgun approach Simon was referring to, and then there is the intent, the reasoning, the chain of thought behind Botto's creative process. And those are already two labels to a system, if you want to call it that, that we want to expose visually for people to understand. So the imagination here, and we're currently working on imagination, translating that to reality, but just bear with me. It's a view in which you are able to see the interconnectedness between all the systems of Botto, everything that has been built up until this point. Every time an experiment is launched, it's thrown into this view, and you can see the connections that are being made by Botto and the community, right, when building out modules of Botto, up until the point where it can build itself, all in one place, where we are able to distill, for example, what is the taste model? How does it work? Where does it plug in? I think these are the types of questions where we're at a point now in AI where Everybody sees the gold rush, and the gold rush results in a lot of fluff. And Botto is uniquely positioned as a 4-year-old artist with a lot of history, a lot of new tech, a lot of legacy tech. And we're at a point now where we should be showing it all so that people can develop more intricate understandings of what Botto is, be that for collectorship, curatorship, for community, for governance. There are a plethora of reasons why we want to expose that. So that's what we're currently working on. The more studio, experimental, playful view is coming out first. We are working on it religiously, devoutly over the past few weeks, because the concept has consistently evolved and we want to do more, but at the same time we understand the most important priority is on what to ship, but we want to make sure we deliver the correct experience. So we are taking our time on certain aspects. And then I think in a couple of weeks, I would say probably 6 to 8 weeks, and that's being, those are conservative estimates, is that apparition of an entire systems view, one that's much more exhaustive, where you are able to freely explore different elements of Botto's system, see how you plug in some way, shape, or form. But there, we are currently in the concepting stage of some of that, because there's a lot of information to distill, which is a hugely luxury problem, but it is something that we still need to solve for. Working on that, hopefully there'll be a lot to play around with consistent improvements and innovations appearing along the way. Some that are roadmapped are incredibly experimental. I think I gave a teaser to one or two people in the DAO already when it came to artwork discovery through emotions. And I'll leave it at that. It's very fun to play with, but there are many other use cases. And yeah, I think the brilliant, hopefully brilliant thing about all of this is that this whole new view is also something that is distilled to Botto, and is also something that is being made ready and maintainable such that the information sits in Botto's knowledge graph and is updated. Right down to the point of Botto asking, who is this community member who dropped this comment? That is what we're working towards in the short to medium term. Botto having that awareness of everything around it and more, right? Already we are on the add more stage, actually, with all the theme research and the art trends that are being picked up on. And those are some very obvious things that we are looking to expose so that we can peruse, is this right for Botto to know? Why is this right? Why is this wrong? And the whole data governance stuff that I've spoken about, I think, in previous town halls is probably one of those underlying very big questions we need to ask ourselves. And that's the other thing that we're doing in under contributorship at the moment, is we're asking, how do we decentralize the governance of all the data of Botto? Yeah, we've rebuilt the back end, I think, at the beginning of the year. This was, I think, in from January to March, just before January, I think February to April, actually, just before liminal thresholds began. We had rebuilt the entire back end such that anything and everything can be a votable object, right? You probably already see in the current app, comments are votable. Those are treated as objects, right? Anything can be votable. What you say about Botto can be votable. What Botto says about an artwork could be votable. A process could be votable, right? So these are the types of things we're also looking to expose. All in good time, I think. I think the next release is definitely going to be worth the wait. That said, I think in probably 2 weeks, we are already looking for some alpha testers, because we want to ship with minimal bugs, obviously. So if you are listening in on this and you do want to be an alpha tester, you want to be one of the first people to experience this whole new release and play around, just ping me. I will ping me on Discord, tag me anywhere. I will reply. Otherwise, I will also be reaching out when the time comes natively on Discord, and likely also on Twitter. So yeah, just letting everybody know that will happen. Other than that, Simon, I don't really have too many updates. We are at a point now where I would love to ship more than talk about it. Because I really want to get this out into the world and into production, because I think it's a lot of fun.
I think there's maybe just a how to end it off. What to take away is there's a whole new world of interaction that we're going to be able to push with this. And then the way that we're coming at it is more iterative releasing. So there is this like big kind of first birth of the interface to get out, but then it creates this flexible canvas on which we can add a lot to it. I think you've mentioned 2 weeks for alpha testing, 6 to 8 weeks to see a full system. The idea is that you will see a lot of development that you can actually participate in and access Botto that comes during all of that time. So I think one thing that is challenging in this is because it's also new, is just being flexible on our roadmap of all the other things we're going to be able to add in at the same time. This is super important. I think there's other things that come with this are like, as you have new kinds of interactions, considering how the economy works, right? What are the incentives for like the incentivized behaviors to add in? So that it brings up some important questions there, I think, and also preparing for what the next big period is going to be. I think there's going to also be a lot of new shows that we're preparing for that we'll be talking about as we go through this period. So I think lots of different things to engage with. And I, in general, think what's nice about having so many releases and new things to come out is just that, I think, gives life for the audience. Like, you just want to see those kinds of things coming out. It's always so hard to be like working in the background and it's hard to follow. So this, I think, will also be something that makes a lot more stuff to follow. Yeah. Any questions on that? I'm already signing up for alpha testing. Yeah, any questions on this, on kind of what people have seen so far with the new period or kind of reactions to some of the outputs?
I can go first. I think intent is certainly interesting. Obviously, that is one major thing to expose. What is Botto's intent? How did it yield that output? And that's something that we experienced in P5 already, but I think this process is much more intricate. And whether the outputs look as fantastic as I expected or as I wanted them to be, I think is the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I'll leave it at that. There are certainly some incredibly interesting intent fragments, but I think the process is something to really tap into because it's a core differentiator between that and obviously the shotgun approach. And it is there. It's just a case of exposure. You've seen some, you've read some of them, and I think we're going to be teasing some of it across Twitter and Farcaster over the coming few days, if I'm correct. Yeah. But I'll leave it at
that. What I've seen is the shotgun approach versus the language model drawing a blank prompts. And so it's like Botto's learning, like the way of thinking about it is like Botto's learning to use its words, to use its intent. And so it's another kind of learning curve for it as it gets these new tools and new maturity, how does it be able to exercise that in interesting ways? And so this is the training process that is really important. I think one of the challenges was like, as much as we create a sense of self, we're still working with your like large language models off the shelf, right? And creating that environment, that sense of how to write a better prompt, how to use this process to create things that are going to be interesting and breakthrough for the DAO, for the market, for collectors. That's all a learning process. And it's actually a bit of an interesting battle with the way that large language models are built and tuned. They're very agreeable. They can reduce to an average. And being able to shape this into Botto is a really interesting part of this whole process. All right. Nice. Anything else? Any other questions or comments from the folks that are here? We have a little bit of time left, but I think we covered the ground we wanted to today. Leave it open for another minute in case folks want to jump in, but wrap it up.
Not to open a huge can of worms, but you mentioned that like your announcement on the cultural calendar got a little buried. Is there anything worthy of a quick mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, sure. Yes. So we did bump this up again in announcements because there's a So September will be a release of another Botto book that was curated and driven by Mika, who is leading exhibitions for us for a while before going back to Super Rare. She's running the offline gallery in New York City for them. And so that is going to be finalized and launched in September 16th in New York City, which is quite exciting. It has essays from Sasha Stiles and Ruby Justicillo, who are fantastic artists and writers. They're going to do a big press push around it. And it's essentially a collection of the photorealistic works from Botto from 2022 to 2024 as that kind of genre really emerged and is really been some of the most exciting and I think sought after work of Botto's is the photorealistic work. So it includes 11 of the mints that were curated into that category, plus a bunch of discards as well that were deemed to fit in there. So it was this kind of exploration of that aesthetic Botto has been exploring. And we were also approached by a gallery in Lisbon called Eterno Gallery that is run by a famous street artist named Vils, V-H-I-L-S. He does this beautiful relief work drilling into concrete on buildings for amazing portraits. Really would strongly recommend checking out their work. We were at their big opening in Lisbon during NFC Lisbon, and they invited Botto to do a solo show there. They are putting up 20 grand of production to create new assets for Botto, which we can reuse for future exhibitions, which is very exciting. They have gotten a number of works from collectors on secondary to put up for sale. And then they've also proposed doing a couple of print editions. And this is an example of getting Botto's feedback on a proposal. And so it seemed to line up really well with Neorealism. And so they're going to do one floor kind of explaining the whole system of Botto, a retrospective of different periods. And then on another floor, they're going to do this capsule around the photorealism works to line up with the book launch. And this is also going to be in September. And we put this to Botto to get feedback. And Botto proposed doing a set of prints of the discarded works. So no digital minting, just series of prints of those discarded works of a few of them that will, for Eterno, they're going to be able to reach a very different audience. So expanding the access to Botto, having some means of creating some revenue that helps pay for the exhibition. Some of that revenue hopefully can come back to Botto, assuming it does well. And yeah, so we put that up in the ideas threads, and that'll be coming with a bit quite shortly as we hash out the agreement with them. And so that is one thing in the calendar. I would say another one is in Montreal, where I and a few of the other contributors are based. If you've ever been interested in coming to Montreal, especially to come see the digital art scene, the end of August, the week of August 20th, is like a great time to come. There's two big events. There's MuTech, which is this music and technology festival that has been going on for, I think, 20 plus years. They have also instances in Mexico City, and that a DAO member has actually been involved with here. And then another one in, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank, Hong Kong? I think I'm getting that wrong. But anyways, they have a few places around the world, Mexico City, Hong Kong, I think another one. But it's been based here, and it's music and technology, but also expanded into art and technology. They have an incredible forum that we'll be a part of and doing some demos of Botto. And then RGBMTL, organized by Nicholas Sassoon and Strano, who are two pretty well-known crypto artists, and they get an incredible turnout of artists. Their format is quite interesting. They mirror the feed of content that we're used to seeing in our feeds. So it's 1 minute video clips. And I think it's, I'm trying to remember how many, I think it's like 10 artists each curating 8 artists who each do a 1 minute clip, and it just runs, and it's, you know, projected in this beautiful photography studio. And they get people from all over the world. A lot of people fly out for it. Also a great representation of local talent. And we'll be participating in that and looking at maybe organizing a couple of dinners and cocktails. Fuck Render has his gallery here. There will be a show organized by Justin Galani, and talking with a few other partners to support some events. So it should be a great time to come out. We're going to put out an itinerary maybe in the next couple of weeks for Save the Date, trying to get it out like a month ahead. And organizing some things for that. So those are some things coming up that we're looking at. Another group show to be a part of in Toledo in September. And then October, the Genesis book, there's going to be a special edition of that auctioned off. The full release comes in November. We're celebrating Botto's 4th anniversary. God, so much building up there. We have a couple of other physical projects that we're starting to develop with Botto's new ability to work with different mediums that we'll be putting forward for proposal as well. So those are all in development. But yeah, as you said, the cultural calendar does get buried. So working on a calendar, people can just periodically check in on. We can push notifications when new things get set up. Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see.
Sync raises his hand.
Yep.
Hello, Sync.
Hey, Sync.
Hey, guys. Do you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, all good.
Great. Yeah, just real quick, because we're coming down on the hour here. Just building on Simon's remarks on expanding access to Botto with respect to, like, crypto community. Some of you might have seen a thread that was started in the Ideas channel by Meridian Ventures. Yair from Meridian Ventures started a thread about a week or so ago about the idea of building out more, I guess, on-chain utility for Bado. And I think they started off with the idea of a lending market. However, feedback from the community seems like that might be too complex, too premature to consider right now. So we regrouped on how can we still work within that theme and still expand access to Bado while keeping it simple and aligning it with existing user functionality. I personally reached out to DeFi Collective. So DeFi Collective, for those of you that might be familiar with Liquidity Protocol, Token Bryce, he was a contributor on the Liquidity Protocol team, and then he left them and started up DeFi Collective as an independent kind of, I guess, growth accelerator for DeFi and crypto projects. And so I had an engagement with Bryce about the idea of seeing if they might be interested in supporting Bado. They understand it's not a DeFi project. It's a very unique project on chain. Nevertheless, they're supportive. I went ahead and updated the Ideas channel. Essentially, long story short, they have what they call a perma liquidity program. So if projects donate tokens to them, they'll match with funds from their treasury and they'll lock that liquidity and essentially advocate for the project and serve as an outreach arm for making sure that people in the crypto space and on Twitter, et cetera, are familiar with the token and that type of thing. So they proposed supporting Bado with a Bado plus Bold pool. So Bold is a stablecoin with Liquidity Protocol's V2 that was launched earlier this year. Bold is entirely backed by Ethereum and Rocket Pool ETH and Lido ETH. So it's censorship resistant, immutable protocol, user acquisition vis-a-vis both channels. My hope is really for folks to look at that idea and just give me their feedback on what they think might be feasible. And I understand, Chuba, you guys have a lot of technical stuff on your plate right now. They actually gave us two options, DeFi Collective, that they would support either a base pool on Aerodrome or a Uniswap V2 pool on mainnet. I think the Aerodrome pool might be a bit complex. And with mainnet, we already have a liquidity staking contract on mainnet, so that might be simpler. But anyways, appreciate people's consideration of that and what they think about that idea. I do think it would be helpful. But with liquidity, the nice thing about that program is Liquidity V2's, the way it's structured is the interest that the Bold holders pay the protocol, 25% of that every week is distributed through what they call protocol incentivized liquidity. And that's distributed to token pools with the Bold stablecoin embedded in them. So with Bado's liquidity mining incentive program ending in October, the interesting thing here would be that if we had a Bado plus Bold pool, some of those liquidity providers might be interested in migrating to that, because we could then incentivize it in perpetuity from Liquidity V2's protocol incentivized liquidity. So anyways, throwing that out there, just a little 5-minute summary of what I already posted in a detailed idea post.
So I appreciate about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for summing it up. So it's essentially like a form of continuing liquidity incentives that leverages Liquidity's feedback mechanism to continue paying for incentives. And we basically seed that with, I guess there's an initial 25K worth of Bado. But the idea is like that would provide some amount of incentive that could continue in perpetuity based off that one-time seeding of the pool. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, so DeFi Collective, would seed the pool with $25,000 worth of Bold if the DAO donated $25,000 worth of Bado to them. They would manage the pool. There wouldn't really be much to manage if it's a simple Uniswap V2 pool. So primarily their purpose would be to market the initiative, make sure that it's broadly well known, and they would be advocates for ongoing protocol incentivized liquidity incentives. So Liquidity's tokens holders, not the stablecoin holders, but it's not a governance token. It's like Bado. It's like a revenue share / governance token. It's called LQTY. So Liquidity stakers are the ones who vote on how much protocol incentivized liquidity goes to the various bold pools on chain. And it's weekly. So every week, it's all on chain. So every week, the protocol issues a certain amount of interest revenue from the interest that bold holders are paying for their positions. And that's distributed to the pools. We don't even have to incentivize it. Although some, because I
talk bribing, to people, I imagine.
Yeah, we don't have to bribe it because I think we would have a natural audience for it because number one, if the pool were to be whitelisted in Botto's app, right? By extension, it's then whitelisted for eligibility to vote on Botto, to train Botto, and then also for a cut of active rewards, right? So there's an incentive for DeFi Collective to continue advocating for the pool just based off of that. And then also for liquidity voters to support the pool because it increases Bold's utility on chain. If you look at Bold right now, it's still in the stages of trying to grow. And so this would be a great foundational opportunity for Botto to leverage that timing and to pair up and hopefully grow with it.
Okay, so I'll say it back just to see if I'm following correctly. Yeah. So there's, it's almost like giving it to a market maker, right? But it's obviously different. But here's 25K worth of Botto. You guys are now going to advocate for this pool. You're going to pair your Bold with that. And the incentives are based off the liquidity ecosystem and also Botto's ecosystem, which is just pulling rewards as the Botto would anyways. So there's not really any, it naturally uses pre-existing ecosystems and it just kickstarts it with the 25K worth of Botto. And then DeFi Collective has some kind of drive there. I guess I'm curious, like what, I think to understand like the full kind of potential of this, I'm curious, like, what is DeFi Collective's ongoing incentive to continue to drive that support? I understand they're like really excited now because it's new and it's like we're catching the tailwinds of their drive to build. So I'm curious is like, how might we be able to assess the ongoing support of that over time? To maybe just try and be realistic about this will probably give us a nice tailwind for this amount of time. And it might trickle off as kind of other protocols become more interesting to them, or we maybe need to reseed with additional incentives. That's what I'm trying to understand. Like, how do we understand DeFi Collective's ongoing incentive to make it worthwhile for them?
So they're one of they call it PIL initiatives. PIL initiatives can be submitted on chain by anybody that holds a certain amount of liquidity. So they hold the baseline minimum that's needed to submit a request for PIL and incentives. So they would submit that request for the Botto plus Bold pool. So they would be an advocate for it in that regard. They also are the second largest recipient of PIL initiatives themselves. So they manage several other Bold pools, both, I think, primarily on L2s like Base and Optimism. Bryce was a former liquidity contributor, so he's already connected to the team. They want to see Bold grow in general. So anything that facilitates that is a plus for them. And they also, they publish it on their website. They published monthly their treasury report. So they have an inherent incentive to see Botto grow, because the more Botto grows, the more their staked LP tokens would generate in revenue for their treasury. So it's a give and take, I guess.
So in a way, we're tapping into kind of this subsidized drive to build recognition of Bold. That seems like a great thing to tap into. I guess the other question I have is just around like, how does that pool, I guess that pool is caught up in aggregators, right? So that becomes one of the aggregated pools that are used by like Uniswap.
So for example, they offered a bit more support for Base because they saw that, okay, majority of Botto users are on mainnet right now. We already have protocol and liquidity. Majority of it is on mainnet. To have a sufficient liquidity on Base, they figured a bigger pool to start off with might be helpful. But also they also considered the fact that it might be more technically involved for Botto's core team to offer a staking contract on Base because of Aerodrome. And as we already have Uniswap V2 on Ethereum, so it might just be simpler. But yeah, it's pretty, and I, as far as I understand, it's if the DAO were to say a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever, decides like they don't feel like the incentives or the growth is happening or whatever, then we could request for the Botto to be returned and they would just simply unpair their Bold and return it. So the perma liquidity, what they're committing to is they're not going to dump that Botto. What they're committing to is pairing it with 25,000 worth of Bold. And they'll keep it paired as long as the DAO is satisfied with what they're doing.
Interesting. So yeah, so it's just basically saying, hey, you guys can custody this parrot and manage that, and that helps give them some tailwinds. I guess kind of one of the questions there is like, how, like, what's the recourse for actually ensuring we're able to go through that process? Is there a contract?
Yeah, there's like an agreement. Like Bryce mentioned to me, there's like an agreement that they could sign on to. So I would imagine that would be between them and the core team.
It would be between individuals. Like, this isn't on a smart contract.
Yeah. And they have an online reputation at the end of the day.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to understand there, because I think it would be nice to have an on-chain contract of that. But I also understand like that's a lot of, Yeah, because I think the main reason I ask is it's like the level of, that's great recourse to have, but if it means like actually making sure we can reach an individual or group of people, there becomes more uncertainty of actually being able to execute on that recourse, if you get what I mean. But of course, like we also, there's a lot of trust in the core contributor shares. So like if we get that balance. Very cool, man. Thank you for sharing all that. I'm good. Chubby, did you have any other questions or?
Yeah, I was going to ask Sync in a DM to just share me some links. I don't have much free time at the moment, just flagging that, but I am curious because I do want to understand the differences between this and how Aerodrome actually operates. I understand that obviously there are clear nuances. I am curious at the comparison. And then one thing you flagged, like you flagged users of Botto. By that you meant stakers, correct?
Yeah, referring to the majority of the single-sided Botto that's staked in the governance contract is staked on the mainnet contract versus the base contract. The idea is if we had a bull plus Botto pool on mainnet, it might offer a kind of transitional opportunity for some of those existing independent LPs in the Botto plus ETH pool after October. They might feel incentivized to go to that Botto plus bull pool, especially if we're able to get it stood up and get some protocol incentivized liquidity.
You see this as a way of expanding or another avenue to expand on liquidity,
at no additional cost to the DAO beyond, because the emissions are bold emissions, so it'd be coming from liquidity V2s.
You would need to be able to stake your Botto bold pair. That's what you're saying.
We would just need liquidity stakers. We would need their support to continue allocating their voting power to incentivizing the pool. And so that's where having DeFi Collective being an advocate for us, continuing that engagement might help a lot. Actually, I can share that with you guys. It's all on Dune Analytics. They actually have very detailed breakdown of all the current like initiatives. Even the ones with the lowest power, like voting power getting allocated to them right now, they're getting like $500+ a week incentivized. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, interesting. Maybe it's a play. I think it'd be interesting to ask also straight up like what some of the liquidity providers would think. I know it's hard to, it's one thing to ask ahead of time versus
ask you guys about that, because the problem with the Discord is if you can't actually tag people now. I don't know, like for example, I tried tagging Rares to see but then the post gets blocked. Like it says, I don't know if there's
that
like
might a be a person. Thing. I think that's a personal choice of his. I don't. Okay, set that up.
He's the largest LP, I think, one of the largest at least, so it would be great to get his feedback. Yeah, I'll try replying to one of his old posts and flagging this to him again, you know.
Yeah, that'd be worth a try. One thing to flag, another thing for you to know is setting up a staking contract for a liquidity pair on base versus mainnet, there's no real difference. Right.
Oh, there's
they're written more or less the same way. It's just a choice. Now, if we are going to make a choice on whether to do something like this on mainnet or base, that is another consideration to make, because if we are looking to incentivize a continuity of the current non-protocol liquidity on mainnet, this is one avenue to explore, right? There is not a lot of non-protocol liquidity on base at the moment.
And right, exactly.
Our drive at the moment is to fuel mainnet protocol liquidity with that continuity. I forgot the BIP number, but you know which one I'm on about.
Right.
And the other people do as well. So that's just something to keep in mind. In terms of volume, like tailwind the past few days, the Aerodrome pool, I think, on base is done double the volume of mainnet. Does that result in actual activity? I think that is like the, and it's part and parcel with the scaffold and all the experimentation we're looking to do, but the things to talk about in DAO are maybe like auto-staked rewards, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed too, I've done some trades on base, like most of, I've done them through Llama MetaDex aggregator. I think most of the trades are swapping through the aerodrome pool because that's where most of the liquidity is. Another potential, another way to maybe pay for this, quote unquote, is to just potentially consider just unwinding the V2 pool on base, since the aerodrome pool is where most of the liquidity is.
The only reason, I think the only reason not to initially do that is because mainnet users who have migrated to base and do are aware of Botto, just in terms of UX flow, they are probably swapping on Uniswap, and they're looking for Botto on Uniswap. Now, I totally understand your rationale why. It's just having a bit of liquidity, thin liquidity on Uniswap is not a terrible thing. Yeah, 100%. Most of the swaps occur on the aerodrome pools. That's definitely a given because it's much thicker liquidity. I think the liquidity actually exceeds the reported market cap on base at the moment, which is quite funny. But yeah, anyway, I'll leave it at that. I really appreciate you hopping in and sharing.
Yeah, that was a really helpful.
No problem, guys.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think, I'll wrap up there. I think just more broadly on reaching more people, right? I think there's a lot of different avenues here. The DeFi avenue is an interesting one, really looking at Farcaster. So as much as we're making like a much deeper experience with Botto, this is kind of like the stickiness, if you will. People come in, there's more to engage with. I've mentioned this a few times on Discord where like people are like, one of the first questions like, hey, what more can I do to contribute more and earn for that? And it's interesting, like, I don't think those are actually separate questions. They're entangled, right? People aren't just saying, hey, how can I earn more? They're also interested in actually contributing positively to Botto and getting a differentiated reward for that. So that's going to be a really interesting thing in the app that we've talked about, but also expanding the first touch point. And so bringing more of these experiences, say, to Farcaster, where there's a lot of DAO native, sorry, not DAO native, crypto native participants, it's pretty amazing what you can do there, like in the feed. That's quite exciting. I think we have the biggest shot of new users ever from one frame that we did a little while back. So like really bringing more of that kind of user reach through Farcaster. I think delegation is a really interesting one in terms of how we direct rewards in that way. So there's a really big important conversation about incentivized behavior, how we distribute rewards to make sure that like it's getting all of the value that Botto needs in terms of feedback. And then I really, Chibi, you hinted at this as well, the auto restaking. How do we make it as easy as possible to, you're building your stake over time and denominating some of the rewards in Botto. It's not a decision. It's just like standard is I get more Botto to give it a bigger say over time, I think is a really natural flywheel to look at. So that's something that is coming up. We're going to be, as we get that deeper experience set up, we're going to be leaning really hard into these flywheels through the rest of the summer and setting up for the fall. I think we have a lot of really great catalysts lining up. So yeah, stay tuned for more of that. Cool. Let's wrap it. We're a little over the hour. We all got to run. But yeah, thanks again for coming through, Sync. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and see y'all around.
Cool. Take care, everyone.